Now, those who know me know that I really like Corrie Ten Boom. And if you don't know who Corrie Ten Boom is, you need to go and research her. She was a lady who was born in the 1890s in Amsterdam. She was the youngest in her family. Her dad was a watchmaker. And when the Second World War happened and the Nazis were starting to get into Amsterdam and all of that, her and her family looked after Jews and those who were not wanting to, the Dutch people who were not wanting to be part of the Nazis. So they would hide them. That led to them being imprisoned, and she was taken into a few different concentration camps. The final one was Ravensbrück. And in Ravensbrück, if you read her books, the story is amazing. She is a lady who is so honest and would get cross at God and would stamp her feet and get really annoyed about things. But God did amazing things through her and her family. When she was released from Ravensbrück, it was a clerical error. Because within, I think it was maybe a couple of weeks later, all the women of her age were killed. She would have been one of them. She was a Christian lady, so she stood up for the things of God. When she found out that this clerical error had allowed her to be released, her response was, God doesn't have problems. He only has plans. It wasn't an accident, because God knew what he was doing. That was part of his plan for her. When she came out of the concentration camp, and obviously there was lots of things going on that she had to deal with, she used to go around a lot and speak about forgiveness. And one of the most poignant bits in her book, The Hiding Place, is she's speaking in Germany, and her whole thing was about forgiveness. And at the end of it, as she was standing to say goodbye to people, this man started to come towards her. Immediately, she recognized him. He was one of the guards in the camp. He was one of the ones who'd been really nasty, who'd stood by and allowed people to be tortured and killed. And he came up to her with his hand out to shake her hand. And she says, I stood there and I thought, I can't do this. I really can't forgive this man. She says, it felt like an eternity. It probably only was a split second. But her prayer was, God, I can't forgive him. So you're going to have to do it through me. She says, I can lift my hand. So I'll lift my hand, but you're going to have to do the rest. And she says, as they stood holding hands together, this guard was overwhelmed because of all that he had done and his awareness that God had forgiven him in spite of all the stuff that he'd done. And she says that was the most poignant time that she'd ever really experienced God and his forgiveness. An amazing lady. I really encourage you to read any of her books. Her idea is that God doesn't want us to be held back by the past. So when she left, she actually opened up a house to help people who'd come out of concentration camps so that they would have a safe place where they could offload things. They could speak to people who understood. They could pray together. They could find a way through this. And she said there were two types of people that would come into that house or leave that house. The first group of people were those who were able to move on. They're able to put down the past and all that had happened and see that they've got a future with God. So they're able to put down that past. The second group were the ones that couldn't. And they were trapped in the past. They were trapped in their hurt, in their anger, in everything that had gone on. And they could not leave it behind. God doesn't want our focus to be on our past. He's got plans for us for our future with him. But Rick Warren tells us, just looking at my man at the back. Rick Warren is the man that wrote Purpose Driven, Life, Church, everything. It's all about purpose driven. And he says, we're products of our past, but we don't have to be prisoners to it. We are all products of our past. Just think about it. The things that we do and the things that we don't do, the things that we prefer to others, the way that we are, a lot of it comes from where we've been in our past. And one of my favourite quotes says, "Our past is not our potential." And this is something I used to often say to the children in school. It doesn't matter where you start, it's about where you finish. You could be born into the lowest family in the land, in the worst area, but God can still do things. He can still work through you. We will look at some of the people in the Bible, but if you read through the Bible, we see that. So our past can be memories that are good and positive. We can think of the milestones that we've made or others have made around us, and it can be exciting. Or our past can be a place of pain, a place where there's bad times, where we struggle. But God can take both of them, both of those types of pasts, and he can use them to give us a brighter future. So how does God want us to view our past? How does he want us to look at our past? When I first thought about this, my title was, "How does our past colour our future?" And as I say, I've been all round the houses with it. It's been all over the place. But how does God want us to look at our past? We all have one. That's the guarantee. Some of them are good, some of them are not so good, some are a bit indifferent. But we all have a past that God says he can work with. So how does he want us to see it? He wants to see the past as our teacher. We've got things to learn from our past. Have you ever said, if you're someone who's got children, or and before you even had children, when you thought about having children, "Well, I'm not going to do it like my parents." And then you have children, you turn out exactly the same or very similar. You start, and I find myself saying things, and I think, "Oh, that's my mum." We try and be different. We try and do it differently. So there's things that we can learn from our past. We can gain wisdom from it. There's things that are there that we can move on with. We've all gained from our past. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to do anything. We learn things as we go along. And then lastly, he wants us to let go of the hurts. He doesn't want us to hold on to those hurts, those things that become so ingrained in us that we believe that's who we are. That's not what God wants for us. So I just want to look at a couple of passages and verses, how this, I suppose, actually shows itself. So the first one, as a teacher, if you've got a Bible, Romans 15 and verse 4. Romans 15 and verse 4 says, "Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." And if we go on to verse 5, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Everything that was written is there to give us encouragement, to teach us, to show us how things could be. The Bible is full of teachings, but it's not just about hearing and reading the word, as we said when the children were in. We need to learn to act on it as well. So we're taught it to then take it on. The next one, to give us wisdom, James. Now, we looked at this fairly recently. Was it last week? It was fairly recently, repeat. So James 1. And if we go from verses 2 to 5. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. If we're struggling, we can come and ask God for wisdom. Wisdom to look back on the things that happened and work out how we can learn from them, how we can move on from them, how we can develop from them. And in the last one, Isaiah 43, to let go of our hearts. Verses 18 and 19. A famous, well-known passage. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Do not dwell on the past. Yes, we need to look back because we need to remember where we've come from, just how far God has brought us. Yes, we need to look back so that we can learn from the different things that have happened and hopefully not repeat them. But don't dwell on them. Don't allow that to be the thing that is overwhelming in everything that you do. People who have been here for a long time will know when I first came to Birmingham, I probably dwelt on a lot of my past. I allowed it to be the thing that said who I was. So I was Laura, who came from a deprived home, who had struggled with lots of things. And I allowed that to become me. And instead of seeing what God had taken me from, that he'd taken me out of that area, that he'd taken me spiritually, physically, emotionally, out of all of that stuff, I allowed myself to keep going back into it. And I would take myself back into it, and I would wallow in it and think, woe is me, my life is so bad. And it has taken years for God to be able to convince me of his love. And it's an ongoing process because I still fight with him. Because when God says, I love you, Laura, I go, yes, but. You don't understand, God, because I've done this and I think that and I do that. And he goes, but I love you, Laura. Yes, but, God. I keep messing up. I keep getting it wrong. I keep doing it again and again and again. And God says, but I love you, Laura. And that has taken many years for me to really get to the point where mostly I accept it. There are still days where it's a fight, where I'm wrestling with God the whole time. And saying, but you can't love me. And you know why you can't love me, God? Because I can't love myself. So why would you love me? Our past can be something that traps us. Or it can be something that helps us to move on. There's many stories in the Bible. Many that you could have a read of different people, but I thought we'd just look very, very briefly at Moses. Moses had a bit of a past. I was intrigued to find out that his life can be divided up into sections of 40 years. His first 40 years, he went from being a slave to being a prince. He lived in Pharaoh's palace. He had a great time. He learnt loads of stuff. Wonderful life. But he never forgot. He never forgot he was a Hebrew. And that's what the issue was. He became so angry about how they were being treated. And instead of waiting on God's timing, he killed an Egyptian and ran. Because he thought, I'm in trouble now. So the next 40 years he spends as a pauper, really. He's a shepherd. But in that time, he marries, he has children, he's looked after these sheep, he learns lots of things. God takes him and makes him realize that it needs to be in God's time. That yes, his past is still there, but God is moving him on. And then for the last 40 years, he is a servant. He serves God and he takes the people on. He becomes the shepherd of this people and he is able to take them on. We can learn from these people in the Bible. We all have a past. Again, if you've not read Hebrews 11, have a read through about all these different people. And lots of them, you would think, why are they there? I don't think I'd want to be there. But God puts them there to say, I work with broken, with hurting, messed up people. That's my plan. That I have put this word in your life to share it with others. Because we are the broken people. So what drives our life? I heard a quote recently that really struck me, and it says, hurt people, but whole people heal people. Did you get that? So hurt people, whole people heal people. God wants us to be whole. And for some of us, this is the kind of thing that drives our life. Guilt. I need to be a better whatever because I feel so bad if I don't do this and I don't do that. And it drives us to keep going and drives us to do things that sometimes are not the right things to do. Resentment or anger. Things have happened in the past and we can't let it go. And it's that drive. We want justice. So we're not going to let go until that's sorted. Or it's fear. You know what, I did that once and it didn't work. And I'm too scared to do anything like that again. Or fear that people might find out who we are and what we're like. And that's one of the things that I became aware of when I was teaching. That my big fear was that somebody was going to find out that I actually wasn't very good at this. And again, that was my past coming in and telling me things that weren't true. Materialism, and we're driven because we need more stuff and we don't realise that actually it's God that we need. It's Him that will satisfy. It's not a bigger car, a bigger house, a bigger whatever. It's not a flashier mobile or whatever. It is God who is the one who will satisfy. Because all of these things will fade away. Or else they'll be replaced by the next upgraded model and you never keep up with them. Or people's approval. Is it that we want people to like us? Well, I think we all do. But if that's the uppermost thing in our life, then that will stop us from being who we really are. And it will stop us from really sharing in an honest way. And the little cartoon, you probably won't be able to see it very well, but it's the man saying to the woman, are you going to be the back seat or the front seat driver today? Which one? God wants us to get in the back and he wants to be the front driver. He wants to take us on the journey that is right for us. He doesn't want us to be shouting in his ear, no, go left. You've missed the turning. Doesn't want any of that. But he is patient when we do it. Fortunately, he wants us to be whole people. He doesn't want us to be like the second group that Corrie Ten Boom found, who could never let go of their past, and that then just destroyed their future because they couldn't let go of it. So will we allow God to take charge of our healing, the healing that we need from our past, to show us how we can learn and not be imprisoned or trapped by it? God has a purpose and a plan for us, for each one of us. Now, I know as soon as I say that, we all think Jeremiah 29:11. But he has a plan and a purpose for good for us. He doesn't want that anything bad should happen. But we live in a fallen world. And we're not immune to the difficulties and the bad and the grief and the hurt. But God can use our past experiences as a springboard to actually take us on to a brighter future with him, that we can move on with him. And then I found this quote by a guy called Stephen Wickham, who's a minister in, I think it's Australia. He says, "The things of the past are fuel for our futures, and God can use anything." So just imagine you're building a fire, and if you've gone out with the children and you're on the beach or something, you just say, "Oh, go and get some driftwood, go and get some bits and pieces," and they bring back all sorts of things. God can use anything in our life. The driftwood, the rotten planks. He can even use the things that are soggy and horrible. He can use anything as our fuel. The present and future are more important than the past because they're loaded with potential. We have so much potential. The past is done. And that's the hard bit. Sometimes being aware that the past has gone and it's finished with. Because sometimes it's comfortable, even though it's painful. It can be comfortable to stay in that place. God wants us to be honest about our past. Then he can heal us and use it for his glory. Your story with God working in you will bring about encouragement to other people. He can take every experience that we have and use it to speak to other people, because there is lots of common things that we can experience. So he can take us on. God wants us to remember our past, but don't dwell there. Remember what he's done for us, but don't live there. We live in the now. And we're looking to the future. So let's move with God and allow him to help us deal with the things of our past that are still holding us back. God has a plan for each one of us. It's a plan for good. It's a plan to give us a hope and a future. It doesn't just stop at us, though, because when God does that in our life, it actually impacts on others as well. Let's pray. Lord God, I want to thank you for your love, your never-ending love. It doesn't stop just because we don't accept it, or we don't understand it, or sometimes we don't even want it. Thank you that you are patient. Help us today to be able to understand where we've come from, but more than that, to understand where you've brought us to and where you want to take us on to. Encourage us. Help us to encourage each other too. Amen.